That's been a, that has been my most recent joy. It's been like, oh, where can I find something stupid?
Yeah. Well, now I feel like I need to give you some content.
Well, that's okay. We'll make it. Turns out, like, we have lots of content that matters, and, you know.
Yeah.
Welcome to This Bible Podcast. I know, the name's super creative. I'm your host, Sam Lewis, and I'm glad you're here. We'll be diving into the daily lectionary, and I hope you'll find something that is maybe a little fun, maybe meaningful, and hopefully brings you closer to God. Let's dive in. Will you introduce yourself, who you are, where you are, how you identify, and your pronouns?
Yes. So I am Kristen Curtis Wright. I serve as a pastor at Ashland Place United Methodist in Mobile, Alabama. I use she, her pronouns. That's who I am.
Awesome. That's fantastic. We are going to take a look at Luke chapter 13, 31 to 35. Do you happen to have it there?
I do.
Great. Would you mind reading that for us?
Sure. So I'll read CEB. Is that okay?
That's great.
Okay. At that time, some Pharisees approached Jesus and said, "Go, get away from here because Herod wants to kill you." Jesus said to them, "Go tell that fox, look, I'm throwing out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I will complete my work. However, it is necessary for me to travel today, tomorrow, and the next day, because it's impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who were sent to you, how often I have wanted to gather your people, just as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you didn't want that. Look, your house is abandoned. I tell you, you won't see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessings on the one who comes in the Lord's name.'"
Thanks be to God. Yeah, it's interesting. So it feels like we just, in this year's lectionary cycle, like we just hit Lent hard, right? Like it's just the second Sunday in Lent, and like we're gearing up on the way to Jerusalem, and the Pharisees are coming. I don't know. What strikes you kind of as you look at the text?
Yeah, so there are two things that really stood out to me as I've been looking at it today. The first is that, well, first of all, that Jesus calls Herod a fox. I mean, I think that's awesome. But also like the today, tomorrow, and forever kind of language. I don't know. I just think it's such a good reminder that God's divine work is always. And I love that, that even in the midst of like these people trying to come at Jesus, and Jesus is like, listen, I've got work to do. I'm healing. I'm throwing out demons. Like, and I'm going to do it for forever. It doesn't, I'm not even, it doesn't matter that someone's trying to come at me like that. But then also the part, the second part about the hen imagery, like gathering them up. And especially today's National Women's Day. Did you know that? International Women's Day?
Yeah, I did.
So I saw
it. We're recording on March 8th. So
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So I saw an image today on social media of a hen gathering up the chicks under the wings. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so cool how that works. Yeah. So I think both of those things, and it's so interesting because both of those things about Jesus, God being active yesterday, today, and forever, and the I so desire to like gather you all up under my wings are such comforting images, but it's really striking in this because it's against people that are trying to like kill him or people that have rejected that compassion.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really, it's good stuff. You know, and I love the first half of this because sarcastic Jesus is my favorite Jesus.
Right.
Right. Like sarcastic Jesus with a little bit of snark. Like, yeah, listen, good. Like, I'm busy. Thanks.
Get away from me, fox.
Like, check it out. I actually do not have time for you.
Right.
Right. And then, you know, what you were saying about like yesterday, today, and forever. Like, I think sometimes in my kind of daily life, I start to look at like God's work as something that like has happened. Not always, right? Like, I am many times conscious of the way God is present and will be present. But I think sometimes I forget that like the Holy Spirit continues to work every day and will continue to work, right? Like, mm-hmm. and it doesn't depend on me.
Yeah. And I think that's been a theme so far of Lent for me. I know we're only about a week in, but just remembering that God has been faithful before and that those promises are for forever. And, you know, I think about another one of the lectionary texts for this week is about God telling Abram, like, you will have a descendant and actually they're going to outnumber the stars. And then so quickly, Sarah's like, I'm going to give you Hagar and try to take matters into their own hands. And it just reminds me so often how we forget that God is faithful yesterday, right now, and tomorrow. But we just forget so quickly. I don't understand how we do it, but we all do it.
Well, and like, so I think about, so I am a big advocate that Saul had a really bad, like, he got the short end of the stick there. Like, David screws up huge, but Saul doesn't wait for God and he's out. Mm-hmm. But I do think like that's what we see over and over again is like you have to wait for God to work. Mm-hmm. You don't have to say like, okay, God, we hear what you want to happen. I'll go ahead and take care of that. Mm-hmm. Like our job is not to make the thing that God wants to happen happen. Just like you know, we look at the text with Judas. Like what he thinks he is doing is ushering in the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I think sometimes we get caught up in this kind of doing mm-hmm. Like, oh, okay, I got this. And we forget like, nope, God is going to act mm-hmm. yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And your job is to be a part of that action, right. Not like create the action.
Right. I know. And I think about how interesting it is that Jesus is saying, Jerusalem, like I wanted to like sweep you up in this warm hug. Like that's my desire, but you didn't want it. So like, what does it mean that Jerusalem or like we, the church, don't want to be gathered up, that we don't want to be held? We do want to go and do our own things and be in charge of our own lives and feel like we're in control, even though like we're not.
Of anything, of turns
anything.
Out.
Golly. I mean, if this pandemic,
people are like, well, I mean, you're in control of yourself and that's the only thing. And I'm like, I'm not even always in control of myself.
Like, yeah. Right. I know, it's so true. So I feel like, yeah, the thing that's really striking and I feel like will become a theme of Lent in my like personal spiritual life is just wondering what it looks like to wait and how you faithfully wait when you don't yet see the promise fulfilled.
Right. Well, and it's this like waiting, even when it feels like, okay, but like I could go ahead and do this, and then not missing it when it is time for you to act, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's the trouble is like, it's paying attention, right? Much like we talk about in Advent, like we are trying to pay attention, you know, that is what Jesus is asking us to do. Like, just stay awake. Keep your eyes out.
Right.
Wait for it. Yeah.
And to have our eyes open and our ears open for like the things that God is doing, even if it's not necessarily like for us or benefiting us. You know, Jesus is here like, I'm throwing out demons. Like I'm healing people. Like big stuff's going on. Like the world doesn't revolve around you, you know?
Well, yeah. Well, and it's interesting because it is earlier in, early in this chapter that he's like gets in trouble, air quotes, for healing on the Sabbath. And he's like, look, like I'm doing what needs to be done. I mm-hmm. don't care about your rules. Mm-hmm. I do care about like acting mercifully,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which is always a challenge for me because I love a rule.
Ooh, you do?
I'm a big fan of a rule. Yeah. I'm like, we have to follow the rules. They're the rules. We don't want to get in trouble.
But some rules are silly.
Oh yeah, those I don't pay attention to. If they're unjust.
Okay.
Then I'm done with it.
Okay.
Yeah. I am an Enneagram 1 through and through.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I can understand that then. If you're an Enneagram 1, I get it. You like the rules, structure. And Christy's a 2, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I am too. I remember seeing that. So sometimes I feel like rules are inhibiting of trying to like be helpful and like loving. And I'm like, no, that's not as important as it is to like take people in, you know? So right. It's just interesting how our brains work.
Yeah, it is. And well, and I'm like, well, we set this boundary with the kids. We can't break it. It's a boundary. And she's like, well, but I think this is like the good thing to do. And I'm like, well, I think it makes me uncomfortable.
Yep. I totally understand.
Yeah. So, you know, it is a good reminder that Jesus is like, look, like you guys are trying to like use legality to like figure out how to like stop me doing what I'm doing, how to stop me from like following God's will. And it's just not going to happen, right? Like mm-hmm. go back, tell him I'm busy because I have work to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think too often I'm like, oh, this person's upset about something that I'm doing that I know I should be doing, right? Like, it's one of those things that like, okay, this is directly in what God wants me to be doing. And then somebody criticizes it and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Let's talk about it. Like, you're right.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It is so hard. The people pleasing side. And I feel like it's really hard as pastors too, because you are pastor of all the people, you know, not just the people that you do agree with or that like you, but you've got to kind of maintain that peace. So yeah, it can be really hard. And a lot of times those legalities or rules or whatever traditions, however you want to think about it in the church, do bind us so tightly together that it's hard to break out and see where God is moving or where God is moving a congregation to go or a church to go. Because we do get tied up in how it's supposed to be, again, air quotes.
Right.
But Jesus here is like, this, my kingdom is not like the world. You know, I don't have to follow the same rules that you do here. So I think it's a good challenge to think about why we do what we do, what our motivations are. And like, ultimately, is it God or is it us?
That is a question I could ask myself every day about everything, right?
Yeah.
Like we just got a new dog because we are new dog, new kid, you know, might as well.
Why not?
If some is good, more is better. And you know, he's like 80 pounds. And so we were like, okay, we have to do some training. And mm-hmm. our dog trainer is like, look, if your dog's doing what you want them to do, reward them. If your dog's not doing what you want them to do, redirect them. Mm-hmm. And I think I could like stop and say like, okay, am I doing what God wants me to do? If yes, great. Keep going. If I'm not, like, let's redirect,
mm-hmm.
you know, it can be that simple, but it's just so hard.
Mm-hmm. Again, it goes back to like remembering that God is still moving. And I think it's really interesting to, if you stop and think about a phase of life you're in or a season of life, especially if it's something like you've really prayed for, you know, if you think about a job that you've worked for your entire life and you're in the job. And I feel like sometimes we can get in this mindset of, well, I got it. So what else is there to like work towards or to hope for, or, you know, maybe that's a bad example because the corporate world, but you know, just remembering that the ongoing work of creation and that we do get to be a part of that, I think is huge.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think like, it just calls us back to the land and calls us back to like, okay, God is moving. Mm-hmm. Be grounded in your space. Even for those who like maybe travel a lot or whatever, like mm-hmm. wherever you are, find some grounding
mm-hmm.
and like see God's movement.
Mm-hmm. It's a good call to be in the present too.
Yeah, right. Like trusting in the future and being in the present.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When you don't know exactly what's going to happen.
Well, and that's the hardest one, right? Like that is the true faithfulness, is when you can be in the present, even when you don't know what the future holds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, that's the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hope we can, you know, spend today trying to be in the present, hope for tomorrow, and watch where God is moving.
I love it. It's a good word.
It is a good word. Would you pray for us?
Yeah, I would love to. Holy God, we thank you for the gift that is today. I pray that you would help all of us live into what you have for us today. Open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts to the ways that you are moving in our midst and in the lives of our neighbors and our loved ones. Lead us as we go and help us to have the faith in you to know that you are with us yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and that you'll be with us for forever. We love you and praise you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. This is a real joy.